Kids, I have to apologize for my absence last show. I am in the middle of producing, directing, and acting in a Shakespeare festival at the Huntington Library Art Collections and Botanical Gardens here in Los Angeles. Well, San Marino, actually. So I'm a bit, well, preoccupied. That isn't entirely a bad thing. It gives me a little focus of something good in all of the bush world bad that is going on. Speaking of bad, sometimes there is so much going on that I find it hard to decide where I am outraged most. This week, it's the blowing out of all decent proportions, the Terri Schiavo case. I have one thing to say. Give me a fucking break. First of all, this is nothing more than another diversion from the rest of the horror these morons have caused, like the spitting in the face of the rest of the world with a nomination of not only the John Bolton UN joke of a nomination, but Paul Wolfowitz heading the World Bank. Are you serious? And Tom DeLay's pathetic criminal behavior that just seems to get worse with every passing second. Anyone remember the outing of Valerie Plame? How about gay prostitute Jeff Gannon getting past an FBI security check to gain a White House press pass? There's the obscene quagmire of Iraq, the outing of info that Bush is planning on bombing Iran in June, the morally bankrupt reward the rich bankruptcy bill, the speeding collapse of the dollar and subsequent economic meltdown when the rest of the world finally has enough of the little dictator and switches to the euro. Then there's the drilling in Anwar, the air getting dirtier, the water getting more poisonous, and perhaps the one biggest gigantic story of all that affects just about everyone in the country directly on a daily basis. Yes, I'm talking about the big gasoline ripoff of 2005. We here in Los Angeles have been paying over $2 a gallon for over a year now, but today it's almost $2.50 for regular and over $3 in some neighborhoods for premium. The right-wing nut jobs in Congress have no interest in Terri Schiavo and her family beyond what it pays out for them politically. Months ago, Jeb Bush was trying to get her feeding tube pulled. George himself signed a law in Texas that recently pulled a plug on a six-month-old baby boy against the wishes of his family who couldn't pay the hospital bill. Terri Schiavo has nothing to do with their new talking point du jour, the culture of life. If it did, we'd have universal health care with a required end-of-life directive from every citizen so that there would never be this pathetic circus in the first place. But that would afford the GOP absolutely zero political capital, and that is what this is all about, Charlie Brown. That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
People that want us not to be involved in Iraq or the and butt out of the Middle East business wants us to be front and center in the peace process.
Once again, that is entirely 1,000% false. First of all, he talks about the people who don't want us to be involved in Iraq. Well, what kind of open-ended bullshit sentence is that? Nobody ever said we're mad at Bush for being involved. No, we're mad at him for bombing and murdering and stealing and raping and killing and torturing. The list goes on and on. This guy, see how they have to, the whole A and B thing. They take Bush's rightful want to help the little guy and change that into, oh, they didn't want us involved. They didn't want us to help. But no, that's not what we have here. And for this hand job to talk about, they don't want us involved in the Middle East. No, it was Bush. When he took over, Clinton was all over the Middle East. Clinton was 18-hour days. He would grab Arafat and Rabin or whoever the people were in charge, and they would do 18 hours. He would take them to Camp David and say, nobody's leaving here until we hammer this out. We're going to stay. And they'd walk out. No, come back. We're going to make this work. And, you know, and eventually Arafat pussied out. If you remember, in the summer of 2000, the BFEE sent people to talk to the Israeli faction, and they said, don't go for this deal. You get a much, much better deal from us. And Israel fell for it. So they did what they could. They allowed Arafat to back out of that. And then Bush finally takes power. And what did Bush say? He said, we can't force them to make peace on our timetable. They have to do peace on their timetable. And now this bastard is accusing the Democrats of not wanting to be involved in the Middle East. It's exactly the opposite, 100%. It's too bad there's not anyone as smart as Bart on this panel. Gee, that's a shocker.
And I find
a peace process where?
A peace process in the Middle East. Saddam Hussein throwing money towards that and fueling discontent in that region.
The Republicans on this panel are telling so many lies. Doesn't it make you wonder what an honest debate about the Middle East would sound like? Wouldn't it be interesting to hear four people talk about the Middle East? And see, what we need in this country is we need a buzzer or an electrical shock or something, maybe just a light. When the guy on the left asks a question, when the guy on the right answers the question, the green light comes on, and that means we move to the next subject. So when the guy on the left asks a question and the guy on the right changes the subject and attacks, that light above him is still red. We can't go anywhere until the guy answers the question. So he blathers on for a while and he thinks he's done, and then the crowd says, no, I'm sorry, but the light is still red over your head. You have failed to answer the question. Please do so. And so he'd attack and lie some more, but the light would still stay red. The debate should not be able to proceed until the light turns green, and the light's not going to turn green until the fair-minded audience agrees that the son of a bitch answered the question. And in this case, the question would be, he just attacked Saddam for being involved in the Palestinian blowing shit up. So basically what he's saying, and I'm not trying to rephrase his words funny, but what he's saying is one of the reasons we had to go in and take care of Saddam, we had to take him out, is because he was backing the terrorist bombers in Israel. But what he's failing to mention, and everybody knows this, every fucking body knows this, that the Saudi Arabians, they hold telethons to raise money for the families of the suicide people over there. So what we have is the Saudis and Saddam both contribute. Surely Saudis do more. Saddam, they said, gave $25,000 to the families of the suiciders. The Saudis are holding telethons to raise money. I think we can agree they're speaking in increments much larger than $25,000, because a Saudi can, you know, go in this pocket and come out with $30 million. It's 1,200 suicide bombs. So if Saddam's putting up $25,000 and the Saudis got $30 million, no, well, it just shows you. We take out Saddam for his $25,000, but the $30 million from the Saudis, we look past that because Poppy Bush works for Saudi Arabia. He's on their payroll. They write him checks. This isn't something I made up. He's a registered agent. When you go to wherever it is in Washington to register as an agent for a foreign government, you see people like George Bush and James Baker and George Shultz and all these other people. They are registered agents for the Saudis. That's why we're not attacking the Saudis, because they're on the payroll of the Saudis. And everybody knows this, but nobody on this panel will bring it up. And shame on Bill Maher for letting this monkey say that we had to take Saddam out because he was helping the suiciders, when all the time they are throwing the dollar bills, Saddam's throwing the nickels. We can't get any fucking honesty in this world of politics. Why is that? You give a guy like Bill Maher, here he's got all the freedom in the world. He's a multimillionaire, so assume he doesn't need to be a whore. Why does he let this monkey lie and get the whole country off track on this bullshit? We deserve better than this. And like I say, the little idea with the light or the buzzer or something, you know, if you're just going to get on TV and lie your ass off, someone ought to be able to keep score. There ought to be someone from your side and our side. When our guy lies, we want you to put up a link the next day. We know before noon the next day, we know that Karl Rove or whoever is going to give us links to proof. Now, don't give us a link to WorldNet Daily or RushLimbaugh.com. Give us a link to somebody who's semi-trusted and show where we are wrong, and we'll do the same for you. And then we'll all meet back here the next Friday, and we'll point out how many times each other lied. We would always win those debates, and what it would do, we'd only have one, because the first time we proved how many lies they told him, one session, then they would pull back on the lies a second time. And we do that, if we did it a couple of times, think how honest a debate we would get. If every time a politician or a debater told a lie, if he was called back a week later and they played his words and then they played the truth right next to it and said, now explain yourself, why did you lie? He's going to be less likely to lie the next time. But if every time you tell a lie, you get away with it because nobody's got the brains or the debating skills or the balls to call you on it, that's why we've got no debate in this country. That's why the shit in this country, instead of a debate, we just have nothing but these vicious personal attacks. And since our side refuses to fight back, we keep losing. Sure would be nice if we could stop that. My idea is we'll stop it. I defy you. Show me why that idea won't work. If me and you are, well, I can't find anyone to argue with. But if me and a monkey argued, every time I told a lie, I'll put up $100. Every time I catch you telling a lie, you put up $50. I'll take all of us to Vegas with the money we'll make off of that.
Confront the Middle East problem.
On a lighter note, teachers are fucking their students. I know that. I know I've had.
And in closing, swear to God, because there's no more tape, that's always a problem you have when you combine politics and humor. The whole time that guy was lying, Bill Maher was not thinking, why is he lying? When he's done, I'll point out his lies and further educate the audience. No, that's not what he was thinking. He was thinking, I got to come up with a real funny segue to go into the next deal. So basically, the liar had carte blanche. He had a blank check. He could do anything he wanted to. He could say Clinton was convicted of 100 child rape murders, and Bill Maher would have said, and on another subject. That's just wrong. When I liked Dennis Miller, he would do the same thing. He would go on this long rant about if we're going to do this, we're going to do that. If we're going to hang a guy for this, we're going to hang a guy for that. And then he would close it up with some stupid thing about, and I got a lollipop caught in my throat. And it's like, what the hell did that have to do with anything? What was that whole rant about? You were leading up to something, and then all of a sudden you did a cutesy joke. Were you serious? Were you kidding? Was that all a joke? Were you trying to make a point? It would be nice if today's political humorists actually had a point, and I don't know if I'm any good at this or not, because, like I say, I get zero feedback. I think it's kind of clear where I stand on a lot of issues. I don't give you left and right of both issues and then close with a joke and leave you hanging in the air as a rule. Maybe I do that accidentally sometimes, but we didn't get as much as we could have gotten out of Bill Maher on this. If you're going to argue about the Middle East for 15 or 20 minutes and then just close it with a lie and a stupid joke, you know, why did you bother? I enjoy jumping into conversation here because, as always, I think I've made more sense than anybody. If you're going to let one side lie and then close with a joke, you've really done nothing to push the conversation down the street a little farther. Nobody learned anything from that last half hour because Bill Maher was too busy being cute and too busy not being the referee. Bill, we deserve better. Shame on the Bill Maher.
Welcome back to CNN. I'm Darren Kagan.
And I'm Rick Sanchez.
In just a moment... will be going live to the Living Omnimedia offices in Manhattan, where Martha Stewart will address her employees for the first time since her release.
While most of us get the Monday blues about going back to work, Martha Stewart is one lady who's just happy to be out of those prison grays.
You gonna do that joke at the top of every hour?
Yes, ma'am.
Those who know Martha say her prison term has changed her, that in her 5-month stay at Alderson, it's shifted her priorities and broadened her outlook on the world.
Mm. Take it from me, prison will do that to you.
What do you know about prison, Rick?
Not a thing. I just like to hear myself talk.
You're an idiot.
Your boyfriend is Rush Limbaugh.
All right, that's private.
You see Rush Limbaugh naked, and you like it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I look tired, if I look exhausted, there's a good reason for it. I don't get any sleep anymore. I haven't had any sleep in about a week. Here's the problem. Every time I roll over, I hurt my leg on Martha's electronic ankle bracelet.
New rule, if you're in Iraq and you even sort of think you might be kind of near a checkpoint, stop. Otherwise, don't be surprised if we shoot your car. Have you seen a single American movie, TV show, or news story from the last 60 years? That's what we do. We shoot cars. Does the name Elvis ring a bell? Richard Pryor, Lee Harvey Oswald. I know it's hard for foreigners to understand, but in America, we shoot first and ask questions rarely. New rule. Anyone elected mayor of a place called Sin City is allowed to be a drunk.
Logical.
Las Vegas Mayor Oscar Goodman is taking flack for telling school children that he doesn't have a problem drinking because, quote, I love to drink. And then adding that if he had to pick anything to be stranded with on a desert island, he would bring his favorite gin. Kids, personally, I would bring Eve because you know that freak is packing weed.
Our top story tonight, as everyone knows, Congress got together over the weekend to discuss an urgent matter.
The measure of a nation's commitment to the sanctity of life is reflected in its laws and to the extent those laws honor and defend its most vulnerable citizens.
Oh my God, we're getting universal health care! Or not. Actually, the health care Congress is talking about is not so universal. In fact, it only concerns Terry Schiavo, the Florida woman whose tragic case is at the center of a right-to-die battle between her husband, her family, and, of course, her United States Congress.
This new federal law will help Terry.
What about Terry's?
Praying for Terry. Terry didn't use a living will.
Terry.
Terry.
Terry is alive.
Wow, they called her Terry. Imagine what they'd call her if they'd ever met her. Or knew her. Or seen her in person. Monday morning, Congress passed an order to bring Ms. Schiavo's case before a federal judge, who they hope will order her feeding tube reconnected. So if you were wondering just how sick you have to be before Congress acted to improve your health care. That whole diabetes and asthma thing your kid has?
In this week's fashion news, nothing classes up pajamas and sandals like a blazer. Michael Jackson arrived over an hour late for his trial Thursday. Jackson explained that on the way to court, he got stuck in a 12-year-old.
March Madness is upon us. Fill out your brackets, people. And let me say this about that. Right now in the brackets, and a lot of people don't know this, Robert Blake has just been found innocent, so he advances out of that bracket. And I believe he will now be facing the winner of the Michael Jackson trial. So we're really hoping to crown a national embarrassment at the end of all this. Today was a crazy day. Scott Peterson had his death sentence. Robert Blake was found innocent. And there was one other one. I believe it was Michael Jackson was found to be, and again, I'm not a lawyer, freaky.
You know, maybe you know this, maybe you don't know this, and if you don't know this, hang on. New York City has a terrible problem with rats. And they're not the cute little lovable rats like this. They're like that. They're terrier-sized, honest to God. And it's not like we have a few of them. We have millions and millions of them. They think anywhere between 3 and 10 million rats here in New York City. Now, the real problem is they're smart. They are very, very smart. They elude capture is how smart they are. I was walking through Central Park today, to give you an idea, and I saw one rat. He distracts a squirrel. And the other rat runs in and grabs his nuts.
Psychologists are saying that teens today must face cyberbullying, in which other teens can insult classmates through message boards, email, and instant messaging. On the bright side, nerds can now hand over their lunch money using PayPal.
Finally, new rule. Fucking around at the office is not a reason to lose your job. If it was, the unemployment rate in America would be 80%. This week, the CEO of Boeing, or as it's now known, Boing. Had to step down because he was having an affair with a nice lady from accounts receivable. Who gives a damn? When did this country turn into Utah? Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, hey, Bill, that attitude may be fine for you leading your single libertarian lifestyle. But when a 68-year-old airline executive named Harry Stonecipher bones somebody in the supply closet, what do we tell the children? Yeah, right, the children who look up to geriatric arms dealers and don't want to think of their government buying Apache helicopters from a fornicator. At Boeing, we will tolerate no sneaking around. Now, get back to work on the stealth bomber. You know, in other countries, a CEO committing adultery isn't even called a scandal. It's called a business trip. Why are there so many Puritans in this country, and why can't the rest of us make them go away? When did we get to be such a nation of busybodies? Ooh, who's Harry Stonecipher fucking? I gotta know. Just to put things into perspective, the Boeing Corporation is our second largest defense contractor. They make things like the F-15, and we're at war with soldiers' lives at stake. So I gotta think that the smooth, uninterrupted management of the Boeing Corporation would be important. But apparently it's not more important than stopping Harry Stonecipher from grappling naked in a burlesque of lust with 52-year-old Gloria Hormph. A couple of months ago, we found out there's $9 billion of our dollars missing in Iraq. Not misspent, lost. $9 billion. But in the age of Bush, anything that involves money is legal, and the only scandal is sex. Gross, disgusting, AARP, early bird special sex with Harry Stonecipher. As if As if a 68-year-old man having an office romance should be a shock in the aerospace industry. It shouldn't. It should be a high five in the pharmaceutical industry. This shouldn't be condemned. It should be applauded. Harry Stonecipher's extramarital affair is the first time Boeing ever deployed an obsolete missile system, and you and I didn't have to foot the bill.
Man who tried to walk 100 hours into Canada to see a girl he met over the internet had to have all his fingers and half of his toes amputated because of frostbite. Even worse, when he got there, the chick was fat.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, there you had it, show 71. I hope you had more fun listening to it than I had putting it together, because that was hard work. It took a long time to put that together. And the worst part is listening to the same things 50 times. Oh, Christ, it's a wonder I still have a brain. I wouldn't be surprised if my IQ dropped to below 60 trying to edit this bad boy. So, I'll get to work on show 72. As always, I'd like to thank the subscribers, like to thank the contributors, the people who drop the occasional check in the mail. That really helps. So here I am, hard at work on show 72. Appreciate you reading, appreciate you listening. From K-Drag, Oklahoma, Bart out.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. That's great, it starts with an earthquake, birds, snakes, and aeroplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane, listen to yourself, turn worlds with its own needs. Dummies of your own needs, beat it up a notch, beat, got no sleep. The ladder sets a spider with the fear of fight down. Like fire in a fire, represents seven gangs from the government for hiring a combat site. Listen, what's coming in a hurry with the fury beating down your neck. Too many reporters got the Trump, get the crowd, look at that low plane. Fine, then, although population corner, but it'll lose. See yourself, see yourself, a world in your own needs. Listen to your heartbeat, tell me there's a regiment, a regiment, the right. Use patriotic, patriotic, slam, fight, right. I'm feeling pretty psyched. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Oh, 6 o'clock TV hour, nobody got born now. Session for a return, listen to yourself. Journal, like a mini uniform, I'm a burning butter. Listen, every one of us is made. Not a moment to erase. Not a motor battle, get a step down, step down. Watch your heel crush, crush, crush. All this beats, no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer, clear. Tournament, a tournament, a tournament of lies. You offer me solutions and offer me alternatives.
And I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's